Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the lovely Jenny Hubby.
Happy Monday, Bruce.
Happy Monday. I'm back in Texas. Had a nice weekend in California and got to stop by the new Waldorf Astoria. Now, don't give me ideas, folks.
I don't know.
I bar and had one very expensive small
glass of water. No.
But the view was fantastic. I mean, I no longer need to go to Italy or anything like that. Beautiful. Man, talk about the crowd. That was a real deal crowd, too. That wasn't, you know, that was something else. These folks that were in there. Anywho, enough of that, but that's kind of a little bit of fun here. We're representing L.A.
this classy morning. Crowd.
Yeah, you got 2 hours away, two time zones, rather. So anyway, so we have a fantastic guest with us today. Let me kind of set this up, and I just love to bring folks in to the show, have them come on the show, and share with us and our listeners their experiences that kind of led them into coaching, right? And, you know, her unique background, her skill set, the field that she's already in. And then she has recently completed the coaching training. And now, like many, many people, Jenny, that we've not only had on the show, but we've encountered, right? Now I have this certification as a life coach. Now what, right?
And right.
You know, some days, it's very rare that I feel that way. But sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, I have some... a little block of free time, like who can I disturb or what can I get started on, whatever. but anyway, so I want to welcome Amanda to our show.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Jenny.
Well, and of course, Amanda knows both Jenny and I from, she's involved in the addiction industry, and Jenny and I are involved in various industries in our present and past, right, Jenny?
Right. We're not involved with addiction, but we're more involved with recovery, right?
Well, yeah.
I know. I'm just messing with you, Bruce.
Well, you just lost half the listeners.
It was interesting, right?
Anyway, so thanks for coming on the show and agreeing to do this and we promise not to rough you up too bad.
Okay.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit about, now you and I had met, seemed like about a year ago, maybe a little bit inside of that, I guess, but talk a little bit about your training and background, and if you want to, and a little bit about what you're doing in the addiction industry and some of the thinking that led you to want to pursue the coaching certification. So yeah, walk us through that a little bit, your history and stuff.
So my history, recovery is personal to me. And so at a certain point, I decided to make a career change to become involved to help families and individuals who are struggling from addiction or the family that's watching their loved one kind of battle an active addiction. And so I went back to school, became an LCDC, which is a licensed chemical dependency counselor, and then a licensed professional counselor. And then I've also started the work through IATAP to become a certified sex addiction therapist. And so addiction just really fascinates me. And where that currently landed me is in a position to be able to provide clinical experience and knowledge and resources to the community, and then help families or individuals who need a higher level of care, explore what those options look like. So that's where I'm currently at. Does that answer your question? Hello?
Hey, I'm here. Bruce? Well, I have a question for you. So what were, Amanda, what were you doing before the, before going back to school? You say you went back to school. So tell us a little bit about,
Okay. I was in nonprofit, the nonprofit world. I was the executive director for one of the counties here, of their nonprofit that served seniors, veterans, and persons with disabilities. And so, I think helping has always just been a piece of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool.
And recently,
there he is.
And recently, Jenny, you want to talk about the, I don't know if you, but you read a presentation in Dallas, and there was a presentation for the counselors. And Amanda, did you give a little talk?
Yeah, that's I where did. I ran into you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was. It was for the psychopharmacology class at SMU, and so Jenny and I both had an opportunity to go in and talk about the various ways that addiction can create issues, not only with the individual, but how it's systemic in its nature as well.
Yeah, I missed your talk because they had a, I think it's really cool that SMU does that. They had a panel after to talk to people that had the personal experience. So were you talking more about the on the professional level?
I was doing both. I was talking about the family experience of living mm-hmm. with someone who is, you know, kind of caught up in the disease of alcoholism or addiction and how that can impact the family and ways to look for it in a therapeutic component that might be easier to misdiagnose looking at it from another lens. So it was a really good opportunity.
Wow. That is really cool. So you're an advocate in the community also, because again, like you said, this is personal and professional for you.
Yes, it is.
Well, good. So given that backdrop, what were some of the drivers that led you to pursue getting the CPC and the coach training?
Well, like you said, I had met you a while back, and you were talking about what you were able to do in that, and I thought that that might just be another way that I could incorporate helping people. Some people have, the reality is that there is still a strong stigma in this country around mental health, and so people might be more open to the idea of a coach than a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also thought this might be a way to kind of expand my experience and knowledge and bring it to people in different ways. Whether it's a family kind of education system or, you know, some one-on-one skill development, and maybe just not even involving the therapeutic component, but maybe more of a practical solution-focused component. Those are my thoughts, but like I'm still new, and so I was very happy to have you all to help me with all this.
Well, man, that is very well said. I love the word, you know, very practical solution-focused component, and boy, that is really inside the coaching wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And I just love the what you just said there, and. Also, you know, you have a wonderful presence about you mm-hmm. in person and a wonderful personality and really, really, you know, light up a room and a situation. And I think that's also, you know, it's also a really important aspect of who you are and what you bring in your interactions with others, you know.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. So I think at first pass, I was thinking about some of the things, like you said, you gave this talk and you're involved in a recovery type industry. Some of the value add, right, that having the coaching certification brings to you right now, you know, in your present station with your employment. So let's kind of kick that around a little bit. I think we can do that without going too far down the hole, rabbit hole.
Okay.
So one of the things And I think I'd alluded to you on an earlier call, Amanda, is like I know some people that are in a, not in the exact same industry as you, but very, very first cousin kind of off to the side. And this is an individual who was, went to college, got the requisite education, but now is faced with bazillions of hours of internship and pre-licensing hours. And it would be a huge time setback for this individual to, before that they could actually engage with clients, you know? So here, I think with what you're doing, you know, there's that ability to, you know, you're seeing a lot of families and clients directly. So there's some abilities to do, like you said, even aftercare planning or care planning or even some intervention work, right? Are you able to do that with what you're doing now?
I can. Yes and no. Like you just alluded to, because this is a second career choice and I'm not 20, I am certainly looking at kind of the ROI on my time at this point, and what would be the fastest and smartest way to build my business. And so as I look at that and as I ran across Bruce and just kind of started observing what he was doing and how that was going to work, I felt that this would be a perfect way to add to my ability to grow that clientele, for lack of a better term.
So you see it sort of as a way to ramp up your business without without having to wait for a license, but two, like you said, people that have maybe a feeling of a stigma with mental health help. So you see that as kind of breaking that barrier.
I do. And I actually, as you know, I just got licensed I just got the certification last weekend, and I've really been kind of thinking about the presentations or the thoughts that were offered to me in the class. Like, you know, what do you want to focus in on? You know, where's your specialty? One of the things that I really appreciated about the class was the diversity of people I was in there with. Mm-hmm. There was a gentleman who works with executives to kind of make them aware of how stressors can reduce performance at work. So he was taking like a coaching certification to be able to offer kind of stress reduction to individuals within a corporation. And so I thought, what a unique way. And then with me, I've just been looking at things that, one, I'm just kind of passionate about, two, that I'm experienced in, and three, that I really feel I could add value to another, you know, being's life with what I have learned. And so I guess that's a kind of a long answer to your question, but I found this is a great way to be able to roll all my skills into something that's truly customizable for the people I'll get to work with.
Well, I think that's a great way to promote coaching and help our listeners understand more about what coaching is, because there's so much that we can do with this training, because really we're helping people connect with their own solutions, connect with their own strength and energy to create what they want.
I agree with that.
That's cool.
Right. And also, but do it in an expedited way, right? I mean, you have a lot of life experience. Hey, Amanda, I'm in a relatively similar station in that I retired from a government career, and it was, you know, of course, fantastic and all that other stuff. However, I am faced with the task of either funding or whatever to college educations nearly concurrently. Okay. And look, that's a couple of $100,000 for two kids, state schools all day long. You know what I mean? That's just the fact of the matter. You know what I mean? And so that said, right, I mean, where does that money come from and how does that happen? You know, I mean, sure, you can take loans and all that other stuff. I'm not crying a river by any means, but right, that, I think that was a driver for me in 2016 to to do what to be in the shoes you were literally a year and maybe a month ago. I was in your shoes, Amanda, in terms of the CPC, you know, and then kind of figuring out a route. What route was I going to take? What things were available to me? Relationships or relationships to have. And I luckily had some very key relationships in a corporation or in a partnerships and stuff that opened some doors for me. So one of the things that I was thinking about your situation is that you know a lot of people, you know, and I was sharing with Jenny. I was sharing with Jenny this morning in a pre-production meeting. I said, you know, if she has so many contacts that are very viable, either A, those could be customers, and or B, those at the appropriate time, once you had your social media and other types of things kind of lined in, but those contacts could spread the word about, hey, did you know Amanda's doing this now, or Amanda can do that now? You know what I mean? And actually,
I absolutely agree with you.
Spread the word of your coaching, whatever that looks like, right? And so that's one of the things that really fascinated me about you. That your contact list is appropriately notified and monitored.
That's a beautiful contact list.
She knows people. You know, Bruce, this goes back to our conversation last week with Wayne Fritz talking about it's all about relationships, and you have that already, Amanda.
Yeah.
So.
And now just learning how I'm going to kind of navigate a new product, I guess you would say, within what I can already offer my existing relationships. And I love what you just said, Bruce, about being able to either become a direct source for them or for the people that they work with and the people that they know.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's one thing, you and I are kindred spirits in that regard, because we look for opportunities, right? We try to execute and make the most out of our time. You're younger than I am, but right, I'm going to be 60 years old in 4.5 years. I just can't believe it in my mouth.
4.5 years.
How do you like that? I'm around. Yeah.
You'll have one kid through college by then.
Well, that's God. Yes, God willing. Age is nothing but a number. Hey, honey. But yeah, right. So, look, you know, the clock is running, right? And the time. And you've said that several times. I don't need to be wasting my time doing this or that or the other thing. I need to kind of hit the ground running. And so what that does, I think, Amanda, is it makes you have to be nimble and watchful for whatever opportunities are ahead of you here in the next several months and really kind of go through those open doors, right?
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Objection, Your Honor. Leading the witness. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Oh, that was great.
Federal background coming up, yeah.
Right. Well, in our marketing training and coaching, we talk about how important our relationships are in our circle of influence. And if you have that going into coaching, you have a huge advantage. You just have, you know, that's what Bruce has. He has a great network of friends and professionals, and sometimes they're one and the same, and you've got that, Amanda. So that's going to really help you so much to get on the fast track of building your business.
You know, one of the areas I was thinking about is because I do work so much with professionals that are on kind of the front lines with the person or the family member or the loved one who is actually battling addiction, that a lot of times the families get lost in the process. And all available resources are kind of directed towards the most wounded, for lack of a better term. And I was, you know, as I've been kind of just brainstorming about kind of honing in on my message, I was thinking, you know, what a great offering to be able to come alongside and say, hey, you know, the families are often abandoned in these places. You know, I'm available to kind of help walk the family through the process. And so that was one way I was thinking of taking my existing contacts and growing from there. If you, and y'all are more than welcome to give me feedback on what y'all have seen work and not work, and just kind of how to go maybe even from a clinical, you know, building a clinical practice mindset to a coaching practice mindset.
You know, one of the things I might, and Jenny kind of get my back here, you know, looking at your contacts, I might maybe interview some people that are in your contacts that you trust and just say, hey, I'm now this, you know, life coach, executive coach. You know, knowing what you know about me, what do you think my best value service line is? See what I mean?
Yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, not everybody, but just kind of pick, you know, a couple of cornerstone people in several different quadrants and ask them, well, what do you think I would be good at? You know? And of course all I get is stand up comedy and, you know, not being a coach, just kidding. But you know, I would be a good joke. No, just kidding. See, I mean, and that would be some good feedback, because I think that would narrow down, you know, people. So when you do come out with your marketing, or you do come out with your first several service lines as a coach, you're hitting something that people are expecting from you. That makes sense. You got my back.
What a great idea.
Yeah, I got your back. In fact, I'll say from my experience, it's taken me. Well, I think we're always evolving, and we're always evolving as people, and we're evolving our brand. But it's taken me about a year or so to kind of refine my niche and my message. And part of that was practicing, because I'd write it on paper. It sounds good, but it's not really the way I talk when I'm out having a conversation with somebody, because when I talk to people, it's more casual and it's more customized based on who they are. So when you go out in the field with your contacts and you're networking or having dinner, practice, and you'll find what's natural for you, and then you'll get feedback from them, and they'll go, you mean like they'll say something like, oh, you mean the forgotten families? And you go, yeah, that's it, the forgotten families. And so just having that dynamic conversation with people will help you refine your message. That's what I found. Have you found that, Bruce?
I had a certain element in my practice where I was working with youth, and they were, and you remember we talked about failure to launch. FTL.
I call them pre-launch.
That's right, pre-launch. An emerging adult at 29. Living in my mom's basement with an
Stop.
Okay, sorry. I digress. So yeah.
Isn't that normal? No, I'm
just saying. Right.
What's your zip code? Yes. Anyway, I think that's a good thing too. And you know what? You know, we as coaches, we talk about self-limiting thinking, but you know, you don't be a victim of that yourself. You know, being a newly trained coach, get out there, and you're going to make some mistakes, and you know, you're going to hit some resistance, you know, anything.
Sorry, I'm sitting outside. I don't know if y'all can hear the birds.
No, we're good.
No, but it sounds good. If I hear them, that's good. Not a problem.
So don't second guess. You might have to just kind of get out there and make a couple swings at some things and keep going.
You know, I have noticed.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have noticed there's one topic that just kind of keeps coming up in my heart, just because it's personal to me, but I've noticed that I've got a lot of internal fear about kind of coming out with that topic, because it's a touchy topic. And that's one thing that I've noticed, is that, you know, can I be brave enough to follow, I guess, for lack of a better term, what my heart is saying to do? you know, and when I look at resources that are available specific to that topic, there's not a lot out there. When I Googled it, when I was, you know, researching, is this something that anyone is offering? And, you know, can you face openly, you know, each peer that you meet, you know, all the other relationships in my life and say, this is something that I coach people on because I believe that there's a need for it. And I've noticed that there's that fear when you're talking about, you know, don't let that fear get to us. I've already encountered one little piece of that. So I'm open for any advice there too.
Did you do an elevator speech?
I worked on one without in class. They did a fantastic job. We spent a long time as a group, as a team, kind of helping each other, working with each other on creating that message. And I was one of the ones, go figure, that had not, I think most people came into the class having an idea of where they wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And I was just observing and learning at this point, seeing, you know, what I could gain through the class and hope that my message will become refined, kind of like Jenny says, you know, it's kind of ever evolving. And, but I have noticed that there's one or two things that, you know, are just passionate to my own heart, maybe even not in a clinical way, but just passionate to who I am, that I would love to be able to help others walk through. But it brings up fear in me. And so
can you share what those are again? So I'm
clear. Yeah. One of them would be kind of specifically a, for just, I guess, just blatantly saying it, I'm already getting scared. Religious recovery. People that have had some really bad spiritual experiences and maybe are kind of lost in that realm of either feeling abandoned or rejected or displaced by the God of their understanding or the religion that they were handed as a child. And that may not be necessarily congruent with who they are today. And I believe that that can cause a lot of shame and guilt and fear and confusion. And I think just coming out so blatantly, especially being in kind of a Bible Belt area, to lots of contacts who share those same views is intimidating to me. You know, just really owning myself at that level. So, if that answers your question.
Awesome. No, I think that's a good one, because think how many, and probably Jenny could answer this, I know of so many people who are involved in 12-step programs who were abused, if you will, I'm going to say it, and it's not going to sound very PC, but kind of experience that kind of religious abuse, right? And that's why they want to mm-hmm. be able to go to a 12-step meeting and say, you know, God can be the power of the group. God can be good, orderly direction. God can be, you know what I mean? So you can,
yes.
There's not that, that, you know, dogmatic thing for those folks or whatever. So I think that's awesome, man. I think that it's, you know, it's going to be a fun one to market. You know,
yeah. Like, well, there goes the fear. Yeah,
it'd be like a personal injury attorney. Get the spirituality Work. You deserve. Call the hammer.
You know, Amanda.
Did you ever cry in church?
When you mentioned that, Amanda, you may have just coined a phrase and created a niche, because I haven't heard that as a niche before, but ever. I know thousands of people yeah. that would say they've experienced that. And this is not a slam on any religion or anybody. It's just the mindset that sometimes limiting beliefs we've grown up with, you know, that we've been privy to from other people, and we carry them on. And I'm a preacher's kid, so, you know, I lived it. And the thing is that, you know, to say that doesn't really, to say religious abuse, it doesn't necessarily have to slam any person or institution. And no. I was even just thinking the other day, how many people I know in AA that came from a religious background, probably most, seriously, most of the people I know in AA came from a religious background. So what does that tell you?
Well, you know, it's ironic because I was having coffee with someone the other day who is involved in a religious institution and was sharing their story of recovery. And I'm a recovery person as well. I'm a 12-step person as well on the family side, on the Al-Anon side. And I know how powerful it was to almost, for lack of a better term, be for given permission to explore other beliefs and mm-hmm. kind of have that fear removed for a little bit and come to my own conclusions regarding my personal spiritual identity. But when I was listening to him, one of the things, and if y'all two know me, y'all know I'm a little blunt sometimes. But one of the things I said to him is, you know, you've been in this ministry for decades, and yet that still didn't provide your solution when it came to this problem. You had to find something else. You had to grow to a new level of understanding, which includes, you know, one of my favorite authors, and just because I'm from Texas, you know, I say Jung, just to kind of be a little brat, but it's Jung, Carl Jung. But he always talks about that it's critical that we heal that God wound within ourselves in order for full recovery, regardless of what the recovery is from, that we have, and especially in a Western culture, become so physically focused that, you know, we've kind of left behind the self, the soul, the subconscious, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And its development stopped. And until we heal that wound within ourselves, and it's going to be an individual response for each person. And I was thinking, wow, what a great thing, because I'm like how you said, I'm not here to bash a religion, a system of thinking, a theology. It would be more along the lines of giving people a space to explore their own questions free of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing them room to walk through their own process of that.
Yeah, have their own personal experience.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Wow.
Man.
But it scares me because I'm in the Bible Belt.
So talk about the fear.
I think the fear is just because in the community that I live in and that I'm a part of, religion is a huge part of life. You know, entire identities are formed around religion. And it's certainly not, as Bruce said a second ago, PC to say it's okay to have a different identity. So I worry, you know, maybe about peer rejection even, or, and I know I shouldn't, you know, I know those things shouldn't matter, that if I'm able to kind of create a ripple effect of love in any human being's life, but that's what I should focus on. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it does scare me to kind of go out and say, hey, you know, I'm the anti-God girl, and that's not what I'm saying at all. You know, but I'm sure that's how it would be heard.
Maybe,
or
yeah.
That's how I perceive it. Yes, that's my fear, should I say.
That's a fear. Okay.
Yes, and so that's kind of where I get like, ooh, could you be that brave, Amanda? Could you be that true to yourself? And put that out there.
No, I think, you know, people. You
I guess I kind of am right this minute, huh?
Yeah, you're on the radio. It's out there.
Yeah.
It's out there.
You know, there's things about, you know, you know, did they have, you know, questions or questions about their spirituality, or there's surviving, right? Surviving an oppressive past. But there's also literally using coaching as helping people find what that is for that person. You know what I mean? Not only healing from the trauma or from the abuse or whatever, but then, you know, the 2.0 is once there's been some healing and serenity there or whatever, then coaching that person to help them find that answer for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that takes a lot of courage for a person to find those answers for themselves when in a religious setting, many times we're told what that is, what that is supposed to be. Yeah. And that might be one distinguishing factor. So I'm just wondering how you might, you know, I hear religious abuse and I get it. Some people might hear that and sort of recoil from that phrase before they understand it. So I'm just wondering how you might be able to message that to a you know, to where it's PC. I don't know where it's.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. That's just kind of what I keep hoping will come. You know, and when you, like you were just saying, a lot of people are going to recoil from that. I had a perfect example pop up this weekend that just kind of reinforced this is exactly why I'm kind of choosing this harder topic. There was a woman who had a miscarriage and was having a lot of trauma around it. And I think for the first time in her life, she voiced that she believed that her miscarriages were caused due to not waiting to have sex inside of marriage. And she really believed that each time that she experienced loss and grief and everything that goes along with all the hope of, you know, I'm finally pregnant. And it just broke my heart for her. And I'm not looking to change her God. I'm not looking to change her theology, her religious views, her practices. But I don't think that she has a place in her own community where she can go and say that without feeling like she would be shamed. Well, and no, maybe I could be a place where she could go and say, I'm experiencing all this pain. You know, I believe I'm being punished for sin, and I don't know what to do from here. You know, that's kind of more, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. I have a coaching client right now, an executive, and he was talking about his background and talking about his family. And I just asked him, you know, are you experiencing any religious guilt? And the guy came out of his chair, he said, absolutely. You know what I mean?
That's wow. Yeah.
That's been the fuel of my whole self-destruction and self-sabotage and alcohol. I mean, the guy just flew out of his chair like a rocket and was going to give me a big hug or something, because I just kind of stumbled on, right? I just kind of stumbled on to one of his cores. And look, man, that's just it. Even despite the theology of it, who, you know,
the trauma she's experiencing needs to be
You shouldn't be experiencing guilt. You shouldn't be walking around with that kind of guilt on your shoulders. You couldn't, you know, and shame and guilt. And the reason why I had these miscarriages is because God is punishing me, and I had the sex outside of marriage, and I'm a fornicator and all that. I mean, whatever the messages are. So, yeah, man, I mean, that is, yeah, that's a powerful client right there to walk through the shame and guilt.
Well, and I think of how many times I've heard the story, and it's also been my experience that people go to get support from the church, and the church isn't necessarily, you know, or church or religious institution, but they're not necessarily trained in mental health and trauma. And so I have a client actually recently that had some issues, and she went to her church, and well, she was talking about going to her church, but her issues were actually mental health related. And I recommended she see her psychologist, and she said, well, I don't think my psychologist is going to understand my faith issues. And I said, well, that's possibly true. I said, that's possibly true. And likewise, your church isn't necessarily trained to understand your mental health issues, because she has both. And so she's struggling with both. And so the importance of seeing the people, working with people that have the training in the issues we have, that's so important. And I just know that when I went to the church for my depression issues, they just told me to have more faith. Well, if I could have, I would have. That was that didn't solve my problem. It made me feel worse, actually, because my issue was chemical. And so
I agree.
You know, yeah,
I agree. So, in that faith that you, that fear that you're doing something wrong around your faith, or why is my prayer not being heard, or, you know, as even personalizing it, what have I done to kind of create this wrath? You know, those are, and I'm not trying to get into a religious debate here, but those are psychologically damaging cognitive distortions, if we want to look at it clinically. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem, you know, saying that. I also know clinically that sometimes I can't say those things. So I felt like this would be a perfect marriage of coaching. Yeah. You know, to be able to look at someone and say, you know, not, you don't have to think that way. You know, it's okay to have free thought. It's okay to, you know, I believe that if we weren't supposed to know the things that we know about ourselves and the science and the technology that we have, we wouldn't have it right now. And I believe that they're coming into existence because there's never been a more need for mental health than we've ever seen. You know, mm-hmm. Stress is through the roof, anxiety, depression, addictions, you know. There's a piece of information cited on SAMHSA, which is kind of a great website to go look for addiction and alcoholism resources. But there's a cool little article they have there that they believe about 80% of all hospitalizations are due to some form of addiction, whether it was smoking, an eating addiction, a chemical addiction that led to later, you know, health problems. But I thought that was a staggering number. And I also
wow.
was deeply touched by it because it just shows how much pain we're in. And, you know, we've kind of got to find another way to address some of these issues. And I felt coaching would be a way that I could do that.
For sure.
Wow.
Absolutely. I can see why your elevator speech wasn't done.
Well, I was hoping you'd do it for me, Bruce.
Oh, well, you know, I'll do it. No, I think there's a, I think, look, we, in my coaching class I had, there was a lady and she was very clear about, I'm here to help people. I'm an abuse survivor and I wrote a book about my abuse and this and that, and I'm going to help these women. I mean, now anyway, so it's pretty, you know, right? Unabashed, unashamed, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that she wore it like a badge of courage. I mean, she was a little bit over the top. I ain't gonna lie, you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? So if you just kind of think about it, I think in this day and age, people are more free to talk about these questions, you know? I think of all the I have an emerging caseload of these gender, you know, I'm cisgender and the trigender and all the different gender kids and a lot of questions about how they identify as in gender. And there's a lot of people who have questions about how they identify with their faith. And there's a lot of other types of churches and open churches and universalist churches and things like that. And I bet you every person in those doors has probably struggled with those questions and could benefit from some coaching. And that's why they're in that building to begin with. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there are probably some existing places you could go to with your materials and get people, you know, like you said, this is really interesting because this is not quite the marketing thing I thought we were going to do with your LinkedIn.
I'm sorry. We can go back to LinkedIn. But you asked. I tried to be kind of evasive about it.
I thought it was more interesting.
No, but look, in some ways, it's like, you know, these ducks are sitting in a pond, in different ponds. You know what I mean? You just walk up to. So it's not. Actually, in some ways, this is a little bit easier, I think, in my mind. You know what I mean? Because I know of places that you could go to where you would find groups of these individuals with these experiences and questions, you know, and there would be various meetups and there'd be various non-denominational churches that, you know, and shoot, you know, there's probably even some open-ended Bible churches that would say, hey, you know, before you turn these people away all the way, you know, maybe hand them my card as a coach, you know, to go through and just tell those folks, you know, I'm a coach to help them walk through their grief and shame and help them make their next choice as it pertains to their spiritual identity. You know, very open-ended, very process-oriented, you know what I mean? And I think you would get business like that as well.
Wow, I hope so.
Well, that was good to know. I didn't know this going into the call. Little paradigm shift over here. No, But it's a good parallel. I didn't see this one coming. But you know what? It is. I think. Yeah, I don't. I can hear Jenny thinking over there.
How did you know?
I just know. When I hear the wheels grinding.
You could hear it. It's kind of squeaky.
I just think this is a very interesting area.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Very specific. So yeah, I think you're really on to something here.
I hope so. And I mean, I even went, you know, at the starting of school, I was doing another master's kind of in divinity to be able to answer my own questions, to determine my own belief system around views that had been handed to me by others my whole life that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I feared changing those beliefs because of some long-lasting consequence associated with forming my own opinion. And so I spent a lot of time in studying different religions and beliefs and practices and, you know, just becoming very, very familiar with lots of different outlooks, lots of different spiritual languages.
So you're very much a seeker.
I am very much a seeker, very, very much.
Well, I think that will serve you very well in the niche that you're talking about. So are you thinking, Amanda, you might have two niches under one major umbrella, and that might be the families of a loved one addicted, and then also those that have struggled with religion and faith and their experiences around that?
I think that's where my heart lies. You know, and I think that it will, you know, I might never have an opportunity to work with a client on a religious, a spiritual component, because there's a lot of vulnerability involved there. You know, that touches our core beliefs about ourselves.
So so what could be a limiting belief in that right there?
For myself?
Yes.
Perhaps that people wouldn't open up that way. And so I might give up on it prior to it becoming real.
Okay. And what experience have you had in, you know, talk about a time where you were wanting to help people and they didn't open up. You know, maybe they backed away.
Whew, that's a really good question. You know, I think, one, I've had this amazing just years and years of training clinically to help people in that space, and to learn that it's not always everyone's time to face their issues.
Okay.
And for me to be okay with that.
Mm. So what could be a new empowering belief for you in that?
Oh, that's a really good question. You put me on the spot. I'm thinking maybe that I could just still walk with them while they're getting ready and be a resource when that moment does arrive. Is that kind of where we're going?
That's beautiful. Yeah, and I was also thinking, you know, you will work with the people that are ready. You can plant the seed and offer it, and with that, you'll find out who's ready.
I think that that's great. That's a much better way to say to remove the limiting belief.
Cool.
Yeah.
We got 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how do we wrap this one up?
I mean, you know, I will say one of the things that I thought was really cool, and I've learned this throughout my time as a clinician as well, is they stressed over and over in the coaching that we're not here to provide answers. We're here to walk with people as they find their answers. You know, we kind of help them do that. And so I think that that's a great thing that I'm going to, that I've been setting out to do anyway, but it's just another way that I can tie this all in together.
Exactly. And it should take some of the pressure off because you're not the one that's in charge of their recovery or their psychology or even their faith selection. So you're there to help them walk that journey in a very positive way and step by step. So awesome.
I'm so excited.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry we went down a different rabbit hole than you planned on. So
this was a good one.
And I know we're going to be like scratching our heads next
year. Yeah.
Yeah, really, no, really good. And you know what? We're going to have to get you on the show here in about six months or something.
Yeah.
Where you're at with what you're doing and see how that formed out. And I think that'll be really interesting for us to hear and our listeners to hear as you're kind of growing in as a coach. So that'll be wonderful to hear. So thanks for coming
on
the show.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
And you know, we're always here to support you too.
Thank you, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Me too.
And you too. And you too.
Dude,
it's not, there's no I in team.
That's right. Well, folks, thanks. Thanks for listening in today. And, you know, don't forget to listen to our show here. It'll be on the archived on the LA Talk Radio website, and then it'll be on iTunes. So you'll be able to refer to this show both ways. And it's there for you for free to download 24/7. So we have covered the cost for you. So you can even go to iTunes and download today's program because I know you'll want to hear this again and again. And so feel free to come by our social media page on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show, and say hello to us. We'll always like to reach out to our followers and stuff. And Jenny, how can folks get a hold of you?
Best way is probably Facebook or email, and that's Jenny Hubby. You can find me on Facebook, Jenny Hubby, and also Jenny at jhubconsulting.com is my email.
Excellent. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great afternoon, and thank you for listening to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. We'll be here next week for another exciting program, and we hope that you'll join us. And we'll see y'all then. Take care. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.